this has been a really interesting paper to research. So much has happened so quickly and just in the last even week. I've spent a lot of time on the phone with other people that do things I don't to try to understand how they see this rule is affecting them. Here's the bottom line. If you're going to read a mystery book and go to the last page and figure out who done it, this is your slide right here, if that's the way you like to do it. The final rule was just published on April 21st. There's the Federal Register citation on the slide if you want to take care of that, see that. It is going to become effective now. We know it's going to become effective on June 22nd of 2020. Here's what it means. We have no idea. There's not a single predictive model that exists that anybody in that government attempted to try to figure out what this was. They eventually did pull some people into a meeting. The administration pulled and EPA pulled some people into a meeting with some background in how many streams there are and how many are ephemeral and intermittent and how much, what does the rainfall look like and how does it run into rivers and streams and whatever, and trying to figure out wetlands and trying to understand as best guess. But these are best guess numbers. But you know what? They're better than nothing. So this is what we got. This new rule, compared to the 1986 rule, not the 2015 rule, but compared to the 1986 rule, this rule is going to remove 18% of streams, and it's going to predict it to remove around 51% of wetlands. And wetlands is a big deal. And the interesting thing about that is that in all of these rules, the 86 version, the 2015 version, the current 2020 version, they never changed the definition of wetlands. And yet we're seeing a substantial change in the effect. Now, how in the world does that happen? Well, we're going to talk about that. The one thing you do need to remember when it comes to these numbers, every watershed is different. And so certainly in the West, our Western areas are going to have a lot different effect, significantly more effect in the West than they are in the East, and certainly even less in the Northeast. So let me give you a brief history of this. To me, this is fascinating. If there's ever a rule that that kind of shows, there's a good example, just a living example of the Chevron doctrine and the Administrative Procedures Act and how all of it works in the real world, especially when it's a very controversial subject, this is it. So this is going to be, it's so fascinating about just how we got here as opposed to where we are. So it all started way back in the 40s when the Congress first passed the first version of the Clean Water Act. And they amended it a few times. And in its more modern version, it really started in 1977. It applies to, quote, navigable waters, including the territorial seas. The statute then defines navigable waters as waters of the United States. And that's where we come up with this. That's why you keep hearing water to the United States. It is a defined term with no further definition. And so the agency has been left to figure out what that means. And by agencies, we're talking about the Army Corps of Engineers and the EPA. They have joint concurrent jurisdiction of that statute. So let's talk about, kind of look back on what we were trying to fix in the 70s and the 80s, or the 60s and the 70s, that led to this act. Let me show you some pictures here that'll just stun you. At least they stunned me. This is a picture of a 5-acre pond dump site in Ogden, Utah. Let me just imagine that right there. That is an example of what Congress was trying to fix when they passed the Clean Water Act. There's a picture of Baltimore Harbor. Some shore dumps. Oh, scrap tires are the worst. Not only that, they're expensive to get rid of once they get in the wrong place. I mean, they're just a nightmare. They attract all sorts of rodents and snakes and mosquitoes. And these days, mosquitoes carry the West Nile virus. And so it's a continual problem. So we want to make sure things like this don't happen anymore. Here's a river, beautiful river. Look at that, gorgeous. But you can't swim in it. One of the purposes of the Clean Water Act is to get our water quality back to where we can recreate in it. And swimming is one of the means of recreation, of course, and fishing's the other one. Those of you up in Dallas, where I'm at, know that there you there for a while, you did not, in fact, you still don't if you're smart, do not eat a fish that you catch out of the Trinity River. The quality is just not good for humans. So this is a 1973 photo. Here's another 1973 Mississippi River, another illegal dump right on there on the shoreline. These places are rural. They're out of the way. People can dump things like this and dispose of all sorts of materials and not get caught or not be seen doing it. That's why these exist in these sorts of locations.